Okay, in the last session, we talked about how the glory light of Jesus can heal your soul. And in this session, we're going to show you how to do it. Amen? So you can begin to apply the light when you're at home or wherever you're at, so you can systematically get healing of your soul. Paul prayed that we would pray for people's all around strengthening and perfecting of their soul. So this is a high priority with God. Okay, number one. The first thing you need to do to position yourself to heal the wounds in your soul is to spend focused amount of time in repentance and forgiveness. Okay, remember, it's sin that creates the wound, right? So if you want the wound healed, you got to deal with the sin that made it first. Okay, remember what Mark 9 says. It talks about if your eye or the wounds in your soul cause you to stumble in sin, pluck them out. And it says that those wounds in your soul were, quote, inflicted on the man himself by his sins. So we got to deal with the sin. Now, sometimes that might be hard, because trust me, wounds are really strong sometimes. They're very emotional. They have a lot of control over your mind and your emotions. Sometimes you might think, I can't repent. I did sin too horrible to be forgiven. Well, you know, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because there is no sin that Jesus' blood cannot atone for. Amen? You might also have a hard time forgiving someone who sinned against you and created a wound in your soul, because perhaps somebody victimized you so horribly and you've been suffering from it so much that you are having a difficult time forgiving. But we must forgive. The Bible says before we bring any of our offerings to the Lord, we have to leave our offering at the altar and go forgive our brother. That means your offerings of praise and worship, your offerings of your gifts and your tithes, your offerings of a sacrifice of studying in the Word will not be acceptable if there's out and out unforgiveness in your heart. And remember, it's not for that person, it's for you. You want to get the wounds in your soul healed. So when you forgive and repent, it's so that you can become healed inside your soul. Now, you might run into some situations. I'll just give you an example. A woman we were ministering to had some severe wounds in her soul because as a child, her stepfather had molested her. And he did it right in front of her mother. Double betrayal. Ow. And that horrible betrayal created deep wounds inside this woman's soul. And as we started to lose the glory light on her, it was like it wouldn't go on. It was like we're going light, light, light. And it was like something was blocking it. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me, said, she has to forgive and repent. So I said, okay, the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to forgive them anew. You probably have before, but you need to forgive them anew. And you need to repent. When I said you need to repent, she reacted very violently. She said, but I was only a child. I didn't do anything. They hurt me. Boy, that's really hard, isn't it? Because that's true. But here's the thing. Remember what the scriptures say. The wounds inside our soul created by sin cause us to sin even more. Even if it's somebody else sinning against us, that wound will then cause us to sin. Remember, that's what the scripture says in Mark 9. If your eye or the wounds of your soul cause you to stumble and sin, pluck them out. Okay? My friend had been victimized, but she had also become bitter and resentful and hateful. Those are sins. And it was blocking the light from turning on to her, turning on inside her soul. And as I began to explain this to her, God was so great, he gave her a vision to cause her to really understand. She suddenly saw a picture of a light bulb, but the filament inside the light bulb was broken. So you see, unrepentance and unforgiveness breaks your filament. It will not allow the light to turn on inside your soul so you can get healed. Okay, so the first thing you need to do is spend time repenting and forgiving so you can get rid of the sin that caused the wound to be put there in the first place. Now, you know, I don't like to do the general, okay, I forgive for every sin all the way back to Adam, anything I can think of, known or unknown. What I like to do is, as I'm soaking, God will bring me revelation about a particular wound. And then I can begin to really focus on repenting for that particular sin or forgiving someone for that particular sin. It's more specific. To me, it has more power. And you'll see that as you go along. You can start out doing it generally, but later on, God is going to get a little bit more specific with you. Okay, number two, you're going to start soaking your soul in the glory light of Jesus. So what do I mean by that? You're going to be applying the light of Jesus to your soul, using your faith and using your focus. You're going to use your faith to believe what the scripture said, what we talked about in the last session, that the light of Jesus is able to literally heal your soul, to cause you to be sound of mind, to be healed of your personal distresses, to be healed of the wounds in your soul. You believe what the scriptures say, that the glory light of Jesus is able to literally heal your soul. And then you're going to use your focus to begin applying your faith and applying the light of Jesus to your soul. Now I'm going to give you a very practical example in scripture. It's in the story of Numbers 21 of people who were healed of the wounds in their soul by using their faith and their focus. In this story, the Israelites are traveling across the desert. They got bit by fiery serpents. Many of them died, but the rest of them were healed when they put their faith and their focus into action. I want you to listen to the story starting in verse 4. And the Israelites journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this bread. The Israelites were on a journey. The journey had become pretty tough, and it had begun to wound their soul. And then they began to sin out of those wounds. They began to speak and grumble out of the bitterness of their soul and speak against God and against Moses. How many people have done that here? You're on a journey and it's getting really discouraging and tiring. And the long journey and the battles that you go through and the waiting and the contending have now put wounds on your soul. And then to make it worse, those wounds then cause you to speak out of the bitterness of your soul. And you begin to sin by even speaking against maybe leadership or friends or your husband or God himself. Anybody ever do that? So here they were. And what happened is they sinned because of the wounds in their soul. They grumbled against God and against Moses. And God sent the fiery serpents to bite them. And many of them died. So what did they do first? Well, the scripture says the first thing they did to get healed was do what I just instructed you to do, is they repented. They got rid of, they atoned for the sin that created the wound. Said that they went to Moses and they said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he taketh away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So the first thing the people did to get healed was to repent. What did they do next? They used their faith and their focus to get their healing. The scripture says that next, the Lord instructed Moses to make a serpent of bronze and to put it on a pole. Then he told the Israelites to gaze steadily at it, and when they did, they'd be healed. The Amplified Bible says it this way, verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze, and this is what the Amplified says, attentively, expectantly, and with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. That bronze serpent represented Jesus Christ. Because that's what Jesus said in John 3. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Whether the Israelites realized it or not, they were being told to use their faith to believe that if they looked at Jesus with a steady and absorbing gaze and believed in him, that they could be healed. Hallelujah. And you know, obviously, this scripture is indicating that if they looked at Jesus with this steady and attentive gaze, that they could be healed of the wounds in their soul. Because it was the wounds in their soul that started this whole mess. If they hadn't had those wounds, and then they hadn't spoken out of those wounds, they would have never sinned, and God would have never sent those fiery snakes to bite them. So it was all a soul problem. Wow. So there, they were asked to put their faith in Jesus that he could heal them of their soul wounds. That's basically what that is. Wow. Isn't that cool? And then they were called to take their faith and focus it to focus their attention on Jesus, to look at him attentively, expectantly, and with a steady and absorbing gaze, not to just give a casual glance at Jesus, but to look at Jesus and to keep looking and to keep their focus on him. And if they got distracted, to turn back and to look again. This is the same way you're going to apply the glory light. You're going to look at the light steady, expectantly, with an absorbing gaze. Okay, you're not going to get distracted. If you do, you're going to, that's your contending. This is how you contend for your healing. This is how you do it. You don't have to war anymore like you did before. You contend by keeping your focus on the glory light. And when you get distracted, oh, I'm distracted. Back to Jesus. Expectant. I'm expecting you, Jesus. Attentive. I'm being attentive to looking at your light. Steady and absorbing gaze. I'm steady, steady, steady looking at your light. Steady looking at your light. What are some practical ways you can walk that out? Number one, you can meditate in your mind on scripture. All the light scriptures, there's so many of them. You know, you can meditate on Malachi 4:2. And the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings and his beams of light. Beams of light causing me to be marpe, sound of mind, causing me to be kapha, healed of my personal distresses. The light, the light. You can meditate on Luke 11. When my whole body is filled with light, my eye or my soul will be, quote, sound and fulfilling its office. And you keep meditating on it. And when you get distracted, you turn your thoughts back to the light. You can begin to decree it out loud over yourself. Decree those scriptures 15 minutes, but do it engaged, because how many of you know you can be saying one thing and thinking something totally different? It doesn't say be double-minded. It says stare at Jesus with an attentive, expectant, and absorbing gaze. If you're decreeing over yourself, you need to keep your mind engaged too. You understand? You can use your imagination. I don't like to use my imagination, but I'm not against it if it's sanctified by the Word of God. What do I mean by that? I don't like to use my imagination because I like to wait for God to bring me pictures. That way I know that I'm not making them up or imagining them, that they're actually happening for me. Okay, but if you don't have your seer vision yet, because you will, because when your soul gets healed, baby, you're going to start seeing in the spirit like never before. But you can use the Word of God to sanctify your imagination. What do I mean? Like Revelations 1 said that when John saw Jesus, that his face shone brighter than the noonday sun. You can use that scripture and begin to imagine it. Then it sanctifies your imagination because it's according to scripture. You can picture Jesus' face with his light shining out brighter than the noonday sun and keep your mind on that image. And when you get distracted about something else, oh, I'm distracted. I come back. I stay attentive, expectant, with a steady and absorbing gaze. Now, I do that for what I do. You don't have to do what I do, but it works, so you might as well. No, you know, I'm just giving you some tips. Okay, what I do is I soak for like 15 minutes before I go to bed, and then I soak again in the morning after maybe God will tell me something through a dream or a vision. And that does a lot of things for me, and I'll tell you what it does.